betrayed, yet bound to the billionaire by Grace Madeline. Chapter 31. As soon as Callum finished, Percival had already disappeared. Callum watched the live stream on the screen, his gaze fixed on Freya, who was passionately introducing her brother to Odalise again. Callum was left speechless, lost in deep thought. On the island, meanwhile, after Sophia and Atlas left, Finian gave Odalise a glance and left with Lucian. What's wrong with these people from Group A? What did we ever do to them? Why do they look at us like we are on his bad side? Freya complained bluntly. What happened just now further soured her impression of them. Let's stay away from them to avoid being schemed against, Stellan concluded after a moment of silence. Only Sela made no comments. After hesitating for a few seconds, she tugged at Odalise's sleeve and said, Odalise, are you clear about the contract you signed before? Did you read the terms carefully? Asterisk I saw how fierce Atlas was just now, like he was set on not letting you go easily. Does your contract have an automatic renewal clause? Sela said in a hushed voice. She had no backing, no one behind her, and as a newcomer, she naturally didn't dare to curse Atlas directly as Freya and Stellan did. However, she was acutely aware that entertainment industry contracts were riddled with pitfalls. Some clauses even tacitly accepted certain unspoken rules. Not only did they require accompanying clients for drinks, but also for sleep, refusal meant breach of contract and financial penalties. Previously, she had seen a girl get targeted and forcibly dragged to a hotel, and after the girl was out, she called the police, claiming she was raped, then she disappeared. Sela hadn't heard any news about the girl till now and vaguely felt that she must be dead. Don't worry. It is over between me and the Bennett group, Odalise said. She had always known that she hadn't much love for her family, which couldn't be forced, but since she had never felt the warmth of familial love, she stayed with the Bennett family to experience it. Unfortunately, it disappointed her. As God's plan for her, she might just wouldn't enjoy a happy family. It was precisely because she forced such things in her previous life that she ended up tragically at the hands of her family. Now that she had been given a second chance, breaking free from the Bennett family was just the first step. She would make everyone who harmed her pay a heavy price. Just keep that in mind, and try not to confront them head on. Sela added. Odalise chuckled softly, and Sela turned to clean up the mess. Seeing the wild boar killed, the crew staff dispersed, and the cameraman left, too. So, what do we do with this wild boar? Freya looked at the dead creature, feeling a bit troubled. Odalise stepped forward and gave it a glance. Slice off the meat, salt it, and let it dry in the sun tomorrow to make jerky. Which will last longer sounds good to me, Stellan agreed quickly. As the only male in Group R, he took direct action, dragging the wild boar over. Odalise pulled out her dagger and skillfully cut the pork while she instructed, Sela, go get some branches to string the meat on. And find some water to wash it, then rub some salt on it and bang it to dry. Sela went to gather branches, which were abundant in the woods, and soon, she returned with an armful of branches. Freya squatted nearby. Watching her swift movements, Freya asked curiously, you know how to dismember a boar? No, but it's simple. I've seen it on TV, Odalise replied. With her photographic memory, dismembering a boar was easy. She followed the lines, and a perfect piece of meat was immediately presented. Her movements were swift. Stellan and Freya, clearly not accustomed to such tasks, were clumsy in stringing the meat, with Sela assisting them. Half an hour later, the boar meat was hung up on the tree. Odalise gifted some to the production crew, keeping the majority for herself, then picked up the leftover fish from earlier and hung it on the tree as well. After cleaning up, they found a place with water to wash up. Returning to the cave at 2 p.m., Odalise unfolded her tent and said, my tent is quite spacious, probably enough for four people to sleep. As she spoke, she lit the firewood they had collected during the day. The cave lit up instantly. As the entrance wasn't sealed, lighting a fire inside would be fine. Plus, it might get a bit chilly at night here, so with the fire, they wouldn't feel cold while sleeping. Should we three sleep together tonight? Setting up individual tents would take up space, and it would be harder to respond to any emergencies, Odalie suggested. She didn't mind sharing a bed with others, but she wasn't sure whether the others were okay with it. Sure, we can chat while sleeping together, Freya agreed enthusiastically. Sela naturally was okay with it. While the girls set up their tent, Stellan set his up nearby. Finishing, Odalis took out a spray, spraying it around the tents and at the cave entrance. What is this? Freya approached curiously. Odalis stood at the cave entrance, looking out as she replied, I anti-snake spray for snakes and mosquitoes. Instantly after the words, Freya's skin crawled with goosebumps. Thinking of the snake wrapped around her leg before, she clung to Odalis. Noticing her fear, Odalis comforted with a tender sinial, snakes fear this and will all keep away even from a distance. Well, be safe tonight. Freya's eyes were sparkling. Though she was in the entertainment industry, she had no cunning schemes, unlike most in the circa. You even brought this, thank goodness I chose you, or I'd be in great trouble, Freya exclaimed. Suddenly, Sela ran over, lowering her voice, well, Group A can find anything to eat. Do you think they'll be too hungry to sleep tonight? Perfect. Severs them right? Freya was delighted at the thought of Sophia's predicament. Seeing the three women standing at the cave entrance, Stellan walked over as well. When he noticed Odalis' troubled expression, he asked curiously. Are you worried about the wind? Yeah, Odalis responded softly. The word left Freya and Sela both stunned. If Odalis hadn't mentioned it, they would have forgotten about it. As soon as they got off the boat, Odalis mentioned that there would be wind tonight. Let's go to bed. Odalis said unbeknownst to them, although the production team and the photographers had left, the hidden cameras were now in use, continuing the live stream from all angles. The photographers were just a cover, in reality, they had already installed high-definition cameras in the woods beforehand. Except for private activities like bathing, sleeping, and using the restroom, where they would turn off the cameras, they would continuously live stream at all other times. The production team hadn't informed them of this, merely seeking to surprise the viewers in the live stream. Chapter 32 Odalis simply spreading panic. My brother works at the meteorological station. He said there won't be any wind, if there were wind, they'd be in serious danger on that island. It's midnight, where's this wind? Bullshit. Seeing the camera crew retreat in the live stream, the viewers thought the live had ended. Unexpectedly, the screen switched and continued, leaving everyone dumbfounded. Then, Kenny's face appeared in front of the camera. During the day, our photographers follow them around, and after 7 in the evening, we switch to hidden camera mode. The live will not be interrupted. Thank you for watching. With that, he left. Everyone held their breath, staring at the screen, eager to know what Odalis mentioned about the wind would really happen. Meanwhile, Sophia was helped back to the cave by Atlas, growing more and more furious, tears streaming down her face. Why is everyone scolding me? The wild boar didn't even hurt Odalis, did it? How dare she snap at you like that? It hurts so much. Sophia choked back tears as she spoke. Finian, however, felt a surge of irritation. Glancing at the pitch-black cave, he quickly pulled out a flashlight to illuminate the area. We should gather some firewood, he interjected, ignoring her words as he addressed the current situation. If we use the flashlight for too long, we might run out of battery. They hadn't eaten a meal, nor had they found any vegetables. The ordeal with the wild boar had dragged on until now. Returning to the cave, everyone was too exhausted to move, feeling both tired and hungry. Finian had no patience for Sophia's complaints, her sobs only added to his irritation, even with a hint of regret. "I'll go pick some up." Hearing this, Lucian hurriedly headed outside. After all, among all the bigger shots, he had to run errands. Never did he expect Sila to have such good luck in picking a great group where food and shelter were no concern. Thinking of this, he suddenly headed toward Group B. Under the moonlight, his eyes lit up at the sight of the meat hanging over there. He looked around and hid behind the tree for a while. Realizing that everyone in Group H was asleep, he quickly stepped forward, snatched a piece of meat, and turned to run back. Damn, what is Lucian doing? Is he stealing their meat? Even if he wants it, he has to ask if they are willing to give it. The pig was killed by Odalise, and now he's just picking up her fruits. I never really liked him before, and I heard he isn't exactly a decent guy. But never did I expect him to sneak over and steal when the photographer was away at night. If it weren't for the hidden cameras, we wouldn't know he'd steal. Thinking the two groups were asleep, they were about to close the live. Unexpectedly, Lucian came to steal pork, stunning everyone. Unbeknownst to Lucian, inside the cave, Odalise had caught sight of him stealing and smirked coldly. Lucian grabbed the pork and ran back, panting as he rushed into the cave. "What is this? So fishy," Sophia asked, nearly gagging from the smell. Already quite hungry, the smell made her feel even warmer. Lucian held up a large piece of meat, his eyes gleaming with excitement as he presented it to her. "I borrowed a piece of pork from Group B. We have dinner tonight," he said happily. He brought the pork close to Sophia on purpose, hoping to win her favor. "Keep it away from me. It stinks. Besides, can wild boar even be edible?" Sophia asked with a hint of disdain. But she was too hungry, feeling like giving it a try. "Wild boar is even more tasty than regular meat when grilled," Finian said as he walked over. Glancing at the pork, he asked with some doubt, "You borrowed it, and they gave it to you?" Lucian looked embarrassed, avoiding his gaze, and just gave a faint yep. "Let's grill it then. Everyone hasn't eaten anything all day, some meat will help replenish our strength. We can look for other things to eat tomorrow, but you're sure this was given by them, right?" Finian said, glancing indifferently at Lucian. Noticing his nervousness, Finian guessed the meat wasn't given by Group B. But everyone was hungry, so he didn't expose it. After all, he needed to eat, too. They were all here for a show. He didn't want to starve to death. "What do you mean? That wild boar was discovered and led there by me. If I hadn't led it over, would they have had pork to eat? Even if it wasn't given by them and we went to get it ourselves, we'd still be in the right," Sophia said coldly. In her mind, since she found the pig, it should be hers, and she simply left it for Group B because she didn't care for it. "Forget about it. Let's get a fire going, and then we can sleep in peace after we eat." Atlas nodded in agreement. Finian was a smoker, so he had a lighter. After gathering some firewood, he started a fire and placed the meat on it, but the meat wasn't sliced thin, so when it was placed on the tent's fire, the outside of the meat was charred, while the inside was still raw, plus it wasn't washed, so after roasting, it gave off a strong, fishy smell. "Is it edible?" Sophia kept swallowing. But the smell was truly revolting, she had never eaten anything so disgusting before. "It can be eaten once roasted," Finian said, pulling out the knife he had chosen earlier to slice the meat. But Sophia stopped him, saying, "Your knife isn't washed yet." Finian's hand froze. He was a bit angry, tired as he was from a day's work, yet Sophia was still being picky. He used to think Sophia was beautiful, kind-hearted, and had a good temper. Now, he found her a mere spoiled princess, always complaining and picky. Not trying to find food, she was just bossing others around. "I can still eat it," Fontaine said, cutting a small piece of the meat. Although it was indeed not tasty, a bit bland, and slightly fishy, it was swallowable. "This is so unsanitary," Sophia exclaimed in shock. The knife hadn't been washed before cutting the meat, and the meat hadn't been washed either. She hesitated. Mon, January 6, Chapter 32. 66%. However, Lucian and Atlas handled it better. They were too hungry, so even though they felt a bit nauseous, they still ate it. Meanwhile, Sophia turned and threw up directly. Finishing, she quickly got up and walked back, saying, "It's too smelly and tasteless. I'm not eating." Seeing this, Atlas quickly got up and stepped forward, pulling her arm and coaxing, "Sophia, don't be fussy. What if you hurt your stomach? I'll find you something delicious in the morning. For now, just have a little." With that, he handed her the meat. Sophia's eyes were brimming with tears. "Why should we eat these tasteless things while Odalis gets to eat grilled fish and boiled fish? She knows we have nothing to eat but doesn't invite us to join her. Who does she think she is? Why is she treating us like this?" Sophia vented her discontent. Her resentment toward Odalis grew even stronger. Chapter 33. Atlas stayed silent, considering the situation. He thought, "We're in different groups after all. So there's no obligation to invite anyone from Group A. It isn't exactly fair to blame Odalis for this." But even knowing that, Atlas couldn't bring himself to voice it out loud. Still, his patience had its limits. Sophia might be a spoiled princess, but so was Atlas. Neither of them was used to this kind of hardship. And now he had to come over, stomach growling, to soothe her? Atlas was getting annoyed. "Atlas. I'm not blaming you. I'm sorry." Sophia muttered softly, hands around his arm and shaking it lightly, her tone laced with gradually, the simmering anger in Atlas cased, bit by bit. Using his irritation, she leaned in quickly, wrapping her hint of playful affection. "In the future, don't pick fights with her during live streams, okay? If we need to deal with her, let's do it privately. You don't want to get dragged through the mud online and end up with a reputation you can't recover from, do you?" Atlas whispered, his tone serious. When Sophia heard this, her eyes reddened with unshed tears. "You think I'm the one causing trouble with her, don't you?" Sophia murmured, her voice trembling. "But I'm not. I just wanted to get along with her. Why does she have to hate me so much?" Her eyes brimmed with tears as Sophia stared up at him. "Hey, don't cry. Let's get you some food, and then you need a good night's sleep," Atlas said, guiding her toward the fire. But when they reached the pit, all they saw was a pile of smoldering ash. Atlas was about to speak when Finian stood up, brushing off his clothes. "I'm done eating. Heading back to sleep," he announced flatly. "Ms. Bennett, would you like some?" Lucian offered quickly, slicing off a portion for her as she approached. But the fire was out, and the meat wasn't fully cooked. The charred pieces had already been eaten by Finian and Lucian, leaving only the bloody, half-raw portions. When Sophia saw that, her tears spilled over once more. "I'm not eating. You guys enjoy," Sophia said, her voice barely audible as she turned and hurried away. Then Sophia quickened her pace, catching up with Finian's retreating figure. When they entered the cave, she reached out and grabbed his arm. "Are you mad at me?" Sophia bit her lip, her expression pitiful as she looked up at him. Finian exhaled sharply, his chiseled features darkened by a stormy scowl. He pried her hand off his arm. He said seriously, "Ms. Bennett, we're here for a reality show. And what about tonight? You intentionally led the boar to attack her. What was that supposed to achieve? If Odalis died, how would that have benefited either of us?" "We had an agreement," Finian continued. "You make her take your place in the marriage, and I'll step in after. But you're trying to kill her? Do you want all our plans to fall apart? Sophia froze, his words hitting her like a slap. She stumbled back half a step, shaken by the ice in his gaze. Now Finian didn't wait for her response, striding away and throwing himself down on a makeshift bed, completely ignoring her presence. Sophia stood there, rooted to the spot, before taking a small step closer. "But I haven't eaten anything yet," she said quietly, hoping for some shred of sympathy. Originally, Sophia wanted to elicit his sympathy, but Finian didn't even look her way. She bit down on her lip, her frustration and humiliation boiling over into silent fury. What none of them realized was that while the official camera crew had clocked out for the night, hidden cameras scattered around the island continued rolling, broadcasting their every move. Confident that the crew was off duty, Sophia had let her true colors show, unaware that it was all being captured for the world to see. By now, the live stream chat had exploded. While most viewers had drifted off to sleep, a late-night crowd gathered to watch the drama unfold. "Wow. Sophia's such a spoiled brat. All that sweet and kind branding she's been pushing? Completely falling apart now. And what's up with Lucian? Did he really steal food to bring back for them? Shady as hell. Dude's cancelled. Wait, why does Sophia keep calling Atlas and get along so closely? Are they actually siblings? I thought that was just a gimmick. Somebody dig into this. Is Atlas the heir to Bennett Entertainment? Didn't he say he had Odalis' contract in his hands? Is he planning something? Forget the drama. Sophia's been flirting with every guy here. She's such a classic fake." Even Sophia's fans fell silent, watching the live feed in stunned disbelief. Her actions flirting with every man in sight, leading the board toward Odalis, were too much to defend. For the first time, even Sophia's most devoted followers were at a loss for words. She's done. Sophia is the blueprint for a two-faced diva. Meanwhile, Sophia's biggest fan account tried to rally support, but their comments were drowned out by the flood of criticism online. The backlash was swift and merciless. Clips of Sophia leading the board toward Odalis and her provocative poses in a skimpy outfit spread like wildfire. Sophia still wanted to use the variety show to boost her popularity and bring down Freya. By leveraging the show's popularity, she aimed to secure the lead role in a major director's script. Unexpectedly, on the day the variety show aired, Sophia's various coquettish provocations immediately made the director furious. Breaking, a list director announces late-night statement, cutting ties with Sophia. The lead role in this highly anticipated blockbuster series had originally been reserved for Sophia. Meanwhile, the production team had been waiting for her to wrap up the reality show before finalizing the contract. However, Sophia's behavior during the live stream shocked the entire crew, leaving the director no choice but to reject her decisively. The news reached Atlas at 1:30 a.m. He called the director immediately, desperate to salvage the deal, but was told there was no point. The production had made up its mind to no longer work with Sophia. Back on the island, Sophia remained blissfully unaware that her actions had cost her the role she'd spent 6 months fighting for. Oblivious to the fallout, she continued dreaming of finishing the show and heading straight into production. Odalis said there'd be storm tonight. It's past midnight, and the weather's perfectly calm. Total fraud. Yeah, kick Odalis off the show already. What a joke. Sophia's fans, desperate for a scapegoat, flooded the live chat with furious comments. Yet, despite the 200,000 viewers online, no one engaged with them. 66 While most viewers had already gone to bed, those still tuned in were eagerly waiting to see if Odalis' earlier prediction would come true. As time passed and nothing happened, boredom set in. People began logging off, ready to call it a night. Then, out of nowhere, a deafening crack shattered the silence. A flash of lightning lit up the screen, striking an ancient tree with the force of a falling hammer. The sound was so intense, It felt as though the heavens were collapsing. What the hell just happened? Was that lightning? It's real? The viewers who had been seconds away from closing the stream jolted awake suddenly, their excitement renewed. Inside the cave, Odalis and the others were fast asleep, exhausted from the day's events. But the thunderclap startled Freya awake. She sat up, wide-eyed, just in time to see the lightning strike outside, setting the massive tree ablaze with an eerie glow. Odalis. Freya gasped, frantically shaking Odalis awake. Odalis had already stirred the moment the thunder struck. She glanced toward the entrance, watching the electric storm rage outside, her expression growing tense. Next, Sela woke up, letting out a startled scream, her face pale with confusion. "What's going on?" she stammered, her voice shaky as she struggled to make sense of the chaos. Soon, Sela climbed to her feet and peered outside, only to see the scorched tree still smoking. Just then, another crack of thunder followed, louder and more violent than the first. A second bolt of lightning slammed into the same ancient tree, making its massive trunk sway ominously. Meanwhile, Stellan startled awake, shot up from his spot, still in his beach shorts. He grabbed his gold-rimmed glasses, quickly, slipping them on as he made his way toward the entrance. Chapter 34 Winds picking up, Stellan said, his voice husky. No sooner had the words left his mouth than Odalis started forward, grabbing his shirt collar and yanking him back with surprising force. A deafening crack followed. Lightning flashed, striking the very spot where Stellan had just stood. Instantly, Stellan's legs nearly gave out. He realized that without Odalis pulling him away, he'd probably be dead. The stone on the ground was visibly scorched and cracked from the strike. "Thanks," Stellan murmured, his voice trembling. Standing firm, her small hands behind her back, Odalis looked solemn as she pulled out a small paper charm. With a quick dip of her finger in a pouch of red powder, she sketched some cryptic markings on it and pressed it against the cave entrance. "Wait, is that a charm?" Freya asked, leaning closer with her flashlight to get a better look. The yellow paper, adorned with unreadable symbols, looked oddly authentic to her. "Yeah," Odalis replied quietly. The group exchanged uncertain glances before turning their attention back to Odalis. And Odalis, meeting their questioning stares, finally spoke with a touch of irritation. "I grew up in the mountains. My mentor was a theologian. So yeah, besides knowing herbal remedies, I've picked up a bit of knowledge in astrology and theology." "What kinds of stuff?" Freya asked eagerly, stepping closer. She was discovering layers to Odalis she hadn't encountered before, each more fascinating than the last. "Star readings, divination, paper charms, energy field," Odalis replied, pointing to the darkened sky. "When we got off the boat, I noticed something was off about the stars. That's why I predicted tonight's storm. All this ancient wisdom has a reason behind it," Odalis added. "People can say it's superstition all they want, but if you understand it, you'll see it works." "Odalis, you're my hero," Freya declared, throwing her arms around her. "Come here, let me soak up some of your energy. I've had the worst luck lately." Then Freya clasped Odalis' hands, pressing them against her own cheeks in mock reverence. Watching from the side, Sela was stunned too. "Wait, you can really read energy field? Are we going to make it through this alive?" she asked, her face pale. "The thunder is so loud just now, it feels too dangerous," Sela thought. "Well, be fine," Odalis replied matter-of-factly. Stellan stood there, watching as two women gossiped about Odalis. He hesitated to speak, wanting to interject but unable to get a word in edgewise, so he simply sat down next to the suitcase and listened. "Oh no. The mirror's still outside," Freya exclaimed suddenly, leaping up to retrieve it. The storm had calmed for a moment, but the wind still howled as the group scrambled outside to bring in their supplies. The night was alive with movement, birds and animals darting through the trees in a frenzy. The branches above shook violently, and the distant sound of waves crashing against the shore grew louder.
"So, what's that supposed to do?"
she asked hesitantly.
"It's a protection charm," Odalis explained.
"It'll help block water, wind, and lightning. Since we're by the coast, there's a good chance the tide will rise and flood the lower areas. This cave is higher up, so we'll be fine, but it doesn't hurt to be prepared," Odalis added.
"The trees outside might seem like a liability during a storm, but they have their advantages too. This spot has strong energy, and it's safer than it looks." Glancing at the scorched tree outside, Odalis made a mental note to collect some lightning-struck wood in the morning. It was rare and valuable, after all. Suddenly, Odalis' phone buzzed, breaking her train of thought. Odalis answered quickly, hearing Kenny's voice on the other end.
"Odalis, you're right. It's really starting to storm."
"How do you know?" he asked excitedly. Kenny had specifically asked the Meteorological Bureau, and they all said there wouldn't be any wind. "Unexpectedly, it started to blow in the middle of the night. I just had a feeling," Odalis replied calmly.
"But listen, the tide might come in soon. It won't be too bad, but you should move to higher ground just in case."
Hearing this, Kenny hesitated but asked, "Is it safer over there with you?"
"Yes," Odalis replied softly.
The 8 participants in the variety show had their cell phone signals blocked. The production team could contact them, but they couldn't reach the outside world. Thus, while Kenny could find them, they couldn't contact the director themselves. In other words, their phones were only usable for taking photos and couldn't connect to the internet.
"Would you mind if we joined you?
Some of our equipment is pretty expensive," Kenny continued.
After being awakened by the thunder, the production team got up and checked the live stream casually. On the hidden camera feed, they overheard Odalis' conversation with them. So the production also knew Odalis understood theology and astrology. The most important was she pressed a paper charm on the entrance. People in the industry were superstitious and believed in the power of theology. So Odalis' words became a lifeline immediately, and Kenny called her to confirm the situation quickly.
"All right. I'll send the cameraman over," Kenny said before hanging up.
Not long after, the production team arrived in full force, carrying their equipment. As soon as they entered the cave, a fierce storm hit from the outside. Not far away, a large tree was uprooted with a loud crash and fell to the ground directly.
"Jesus, that was close," a crew member muttered, visibly shaken. Several of the staff huddled deeper into the cave, while others grabbed their phones to record the chaos outside.
The cameraman set up a live feed, capturing the storm's wrath in real time. Then Kenny turned to a staff member and asked, "What about Kua's cave? Are they doing okay? Maybe we should check in." With that, he dialed another number. Over in Group S cave, Sophia picked up her phone groggily, her voice laced with irritation.
"Who is this?"
"It's Kenny," Kenny replied.
"The storm's picking up.
How's it looking on your end? Are you sure it's safe there?"
Hearing this, Sophia sat up quickly. Peering outside, she saw the relentless downpour and occasional flashes of lightning. She shrank back instinctively and said dismissively,
"Yeah, I guess it's storming, but we're fine."
After a pause, Kenny asked,
"You're sure?
We've regrouped with Group B, and it's safer to stick together.
Do you want to move over here? More people, better odds of staying safe."
Sophia scoffed lightly.
"Come on, Kenny. What could possibly happen in a cave?
We'll be fine.
All right, just stay alert,"
Kenny said, his tone resigned as he hung up. The phone clicked off, and a wave of unease crept over Sophia. She glanced toward the entrance of the cave, a strange feeling gnawing at her.
"What's going on?"
Atlas asked as he sat up, blinking against the dim light.
"Damn," Atlas muttered,
his eyes widening as he spotted a tree split in half not far from the cave entrance. Chapter 35. Sophia walked outside quickly, standing at the entrance of the chay, looking out. Finian and Lucian were also awakened, following her.
What should we do?
The wind's picking up. Do you think the water's going to flood in soon? Finian spoke calmly, lowering his voice. Lucian's face darkened. He turned to look at Sophia and asked, "Did Kenny call and tell us to move over to Group B?" However, Sophia replied with a hint of disdain, "Yeah, but we're all hiding in the cave, right? Odalis is safe over there, so why wouldn't I be safe here?" Sophia's words left everyone silent. The next second, a white mist appeared ahead, as if something was spreading across the sky.
"What is that?"
"The water's flooding in," Lucian shouted. He staggered back a few steps, bumping into Sophia, and pushing her back a couple of steps. His eyes filled with fear. Finian and Atlas retreated into the cave as well, seeing snakes and rats scattering in all directions. A few snakes were rushing toward the cave.
"Snakes. It's snakes."
Sophia stared at the snakes slithering nearby. She began to step back, holding her flashlight. When the beam landed on the snakes, they charged toward her. Sophia screamed and ran backward.
"Why are there so many snakes and rats?"
Atlas exclaimed, clearly frightened. Then he grabbed the shovel quickly and swung it at one of the snakes, killing it with one blow. But the rats were fast. A few of them scurried into their tent, and Sophia was so frightened that she collapsed onto the ground, her skirt shifting. One black rat was heading toward her skirt. Sophia screamed, "Ara! Get away, get away!" With that, she kept swatting at it. Seeing this, Lucian reached down quickly, grabbing the rat from under her skirt. He gripped it tightly, his fingers brushing against Sophia's thigh. Sophia felt a tingling sensation spreading through her, about to ash out. But when she saw Lucian fling the rat away from her skirt, and then step on it hard, she was momentarily stunned. "It's okay, Lucian got it," Atlas said quickly, trying to comfort her after Finian took care of two rats. He saw two snakes slithering inside. He turned, and in an instant, the snakes from sight. Two snakes came in, but they're gone now.
"Everyone, be careful," Finian said in a low voice. Disappeared. They had seen these scenes in movies before, but never in reality. Now, standing in the cave, they were all left feeling helpless, unsure of what to do.
Damn. Sophia's on an island, and now she's still wearing a skirt. No wonder rats are crawling into their holes.
Did you see the look between Lucian and Sophia earlier? It was like he touched something of hers. Their expressions were really strange.
Hey, I zoomed in. Sophia wasn't wearing any underwear. When he collapsed earlier, she looked like she exposed herself.
Is it really that intense?
Who recorded the video earlier?
I want to see it.
Odalis was right again. She is really eerie and always accurate. She predicts better than the Weather Bureau.
I want to get my fortune read by her one day, not sure if he'll get that chance. And Sophia's really stubborn.
The director told her to go over, but she still refused.
Now the snakes are coming in, and if she gets bitten, it'll be a disaster.
What kind of show is this?
They can't even guarantee the safety of the celebrities. They should call the police immediately.
Some fans began defending Sophia immediately, while fans of Freya and Stellan watched the chaos unfold. It was midnight, and there were only about 200,000 viewers online. However, seeing the situation change, everyone rallied their friends quickly, and the viewer count soared into the millions. The number of viewers jumped from 200,000 to over a million, and it seemed to be still rising.
What's going on?
Is the water really flooding in?
In Group A.
The snakes have already gotten inside, and they're still not running.
What idiots.
Sophia is just stirring things up. The crew went to Group B, and she's still acting all high and mighty.
Finian, rum. Don't follow Sophia. She is stupid.
Finian's fans were in a panic, watching as they kept backing away, the water rising around them. Everyone held their breath, fearing the worst, being washed away by the flood. Sophia was terribly frightened. She tried to call Kenny, but their phones could only receive calls and couldn't contact anyone. At this moment, saying she didn't regret it would have been a lie. If Sophia had known it would turn out like this, she would have gone to Group B the moment she got the call. Then, none of this would have happened. Atlas, is there any way to contact Odalise? We need her to figure something out. I don't want to die. Sophia's voice cracked as she spoke. Just as Sophia finished speaking, the water surged in. The sound of it was deafening as debris and trash were swept inside, knocking everyone to the ground. Sophia's hand landed on something slippery. She looked up, and to her horror, she saw a snake wrapped around her wrist. Her eyes rolled back in fear. Ah! A snake! A snake! Sophia screamed, thrashing around. The shake was thrown off and landed on Finian's head. He looked up to see the snake's head against his face, and he held his breath. As the snake flicked its tongue, Finian grabbed it and threw it away with force. The snake crashed against a rock near the cave entrance, blood splattering, and then was carried away by the water. Now, the water was up to their ankles. Finian gritted his teeth and said quietly, "Waiting for the crew to rescue us is unrealistic. We need to move to them immediately. It's safer in numbers," Finian added. GD definitely didn't want to die out here without her help. He had to leave, whether Finian had no objections to Odalise. Sophia and the others liked it or not. Of the cave. Saying this, Finian abandoned their luggage and began running out of "I'm coming too." Finian Lucian followed quickly, keeping pace with Finian. 1904 Mon, January 6, Chapter 35. 66% Sophia, shaken, couldn't believe that Finian would just leave her behind. She looked up at Atlas, who was holding her wrist. "We have to go, or we'll die," Atlas said in a low voice. The flood was just beginning, and no one knew what would happen next. He didn't dare to think any further. "Can't they come get us? Does Odalise think we should beg her to come?" Sophia sobbed, her voice breaking. Her legs were shaking, and she almost collapsed, but she held herself upright. Sophia had never been humiliated like this before, and now she was at her breaking point. If she went to Odalise, she knew the other woman would feel smug and think she had won. So Sophia couldn't let that happen. She couldn't lose to Odalise, not when she was the true Bennett family heiress. Even though Odalise was a biological member of the Bennett family, Sophia would always stand on top of her. "Sophia, what's wrong with you? This isn't the time to be so stubborn. If we keep waiting, we're going to die," Atlas shouted, his patience running thin. Chapter 36 Atlas couldn't believe his eyes as he stared at Sophia, who was crying. He was so frustrated that he took a few steps back. "Fine. If you're not leaving, then I will," he said coldly. In the face of life and death, all the affection in the world meant nothing. Even if one had to fight for attention or stir up hatred, the priority was survival. Without life, there was no need for anything else. Atlas couldn't understand what Sophia was thinking. "Atlas, are you really going to leave me behind?" Sophia asked in despair, looking at him. Atlas turned resolutely, not looking back as he walked away. The water had already reached his waist, and he struggled forward. His foot caught on something, and Atlas fell forward, being swept away by a wave and thrown onto a nearby patch of grass. "Odalise, help me!" Atlas screamed out. It was only then that he felt a sense of fear. He kept shouting, but the only sound was the howling wind and rain. At that moment, images of Odalise kept flashing in Atlas' mind. He remembered the time Odalise was running errands on set. That night, there was a typhoon, and Atlas was rushing back to the set.
the car was struck by debris, and he injured his leg. Atlas made a call, and Odalis rushed through the typhoon to drag him out of the car, even carrying him several miles to get Hun to a clinic. The doctor had said that if Atlas had arrived any later, his leg would have been ruined. Therefore, Atlas had a high fever for 3 days and nearly died. Thinking about it, Adas shuddered and turned toward Group B, hoping to see Odalis' figure once more. Unfortunately, she didn't come. Odalis. I'm going to die. If you don't come now, I'm really going to die, Atlas whispered, his voice full of desperation. At that time, Atlas' heart was filled with regret. He thought, if only I had been in the same group as Odalis, then she wouldn't have ignored me like this. She wouldn't have been standing there so pretentiously, refusing to leave when something happened. What's Sophia even doing? If she wants to die, fine, but don't drag Atlas down with her. Atlas, hurry up and this drama queen. Good thing Atlas is smart and just walked away. That damn Sophia, throwing a snake in front of Finian. If he got bitten, his face would be ruined. Get away from Sophia has no brain. Stupid. The seawater is flooding, and she's still not running? Does she really think Odalis is going to come save her? Who does she think she is? Immediately, those who had been half asleep online were fully awake and began typing in anger, attacking Sophia. News about her trend again quickly. Meanwhile, Sophia stood there, feeling wronged, looking around at the pitch black surroundings. Her flashlight had run out of power, and she tried to find her way out frantically, only to find the area empty. Sophia sobbed quietly. Why did you all leave me? What do you gain by letting me die? Are you all trying to hurt me? Everyone says Odalis is good. What's so great about her? Why does everyone run to her? What makes her so special? Soon as Sophia finished speaking, a wave crashed towards Hia, she exclaimed, swept away by the wave. Her face turned pale, and her body was thrown into the air as if tossed to the clouds. Finally, Sold her eyes and lost conscious tions. Oh no, did she really die? Answering the person above, normally, she probably didn't survive. They always say you won't die if you don't provoke fate, but she just kept pushing it. Everyone else stayed safe, and only she got into trouble. She's probably bad luck. From now on, I'm telling Finian to stay far away from her. A woman like this with emotional instability is way too dangerous. Luckily, Finian ran fast. What now? Does Sophia really get swept into the sea? Oh my god, she's risking her life for a variety show. Everyone was shocked, their attention fixed on the screen, too afraid to even type anymore. Even Sophia's fans fell silent. Some couldn't understand why Sophia was still blaming Odalis when the wind, rain, and waves were all natural phenomena. What did Odalis have to do with it? In the Crown Ridge, at the Bennett residence, a phone call broke the quiet of the house. Mom, something's happened, Henry said, rushing to Hannah's bedroom. Hannah looked confused as she stared at the phone screen Henry handed her and asked, what happened? Does Odalis cause trouble again? It's the wind and water flooding, and Sophia got swept away by the waves, Henry replied hoarsely. If it weren't for the assistance call, he wouldn't have realized the storm had caused this. Sophia was swept away? What about Atlas? How's he doing? Did if we tell him to make sure Odalis took care of Sophia? How did this happen? Hannah asked, her face dark. Hannah never expected that Odalis, that wretched woman, would fail to care for her siblings properly. Atlas was swept away too, and his condition is unclear, but Sophia definitely got swept away. Right now, her survival is uncertain, Henry said with a grim tone. He never thought they'd face something like this on the first day of the show. Hannah shouted, that damn Odalis. She's a total disaster for us. Why did we bring her back? If it weren't for her, neither Sophia nor Atlas would have been in danger.
All this trouble because of Odalise. If it weren't for the pressure from the Stewart family, we never would have brought her back. She's cursed us, this return of hers is meant to kill us all. I should have known, we should have gotten rid of her when we found her. If she had died, she wouldn't have caused us all this trouble. As she watched Sophia's pathetic image on the screen, Hannah fainted. Seeing this, Henry rushed over to support Hannah and called for a doctor immediately. Henry, Sophia's in trouble. Caspian entered the room. He had just heard what Hannah had said and, after a moment of hesitation, muttered, "But, wasn't it us who brought Odalise back?" That thought only lasted a second in his mind before Caspian pushed it aside quickly. 1904 Mon, January 6 GB Chapter 36, on the island, late at night, strong winds and heavy rain swept in and seawater flooded the island, brushing against everything. All the crew members took shelter in Group B's cave. Luckily, the cave was large and not too cramped. "The water's coming!" someone screamed. Finian and Lucian rushed in, their faces grim as they looked at the cave entrance, where seawater was now rushing in. The two froze in place. But when the water hit the entrance, something seemed to block it, and the surrounding water started to recede. Everyone stared in disbelief, glancing at each other, thinking they were seeing things. "It's really holding back the water," Freya whispered, still in disbelief. Earlier, Odalise had mentioned it, but Freya hadn't taken it seriously. Now, seeing the water stop, she exchanged a look with Sela. And Stellan also glanced over. Stellan's fingertips pressed against the side of the suitcase as he looked up at the profile of Odalise. He saw her observing the situation outside calmly, her emotions stable and unflustered. Chapter 37 Lucian gasped for air, speaking in a panicked rush. "That scared the hell out of me. The cave flooded, and snakes and rats started swarming in." Finian didn't say a word. He just stood there, visibly shaken. Kenny approached, his face tense as he scanned the group. Noticing that Atlas and Sophia were missing, he frowned. "Where are Atlas and Sophia? Didn't I tell everyone to move here?" Hearing this, Lucian and Finian stayed silent, their expressions uneasy. After a pause, Finian said finally, his voice hoarse, "She said she wasn't coming." The others were stunned. "She didn't come? Everyone else made it here. What's wrong with her? Does she have a death wish?" one of the crew blurted out. Kenny's expression darkened. "Maybe it's fate," he muttered grimly. Odalise, sitting nearby, opened her eyes slightly, glancing at Kenty. Her lips parted as though she had something to say, but she hesitated. Instead, she leaned back against the tree, closing her eyes again, appearing unbothered. Meanwhile, the tension in the air was palpable. Everyone's nerves were stretched taut as they stared at the storm outside. And the live stream audience mirrored the unease. Over 2 million viewers were glued to their screens, unwilling to miss a moment. People stayed awake all night, eager to know if Atlas and Sophia were still alive. Even the Bennett family couldn't look away. "Do you think Atlas and Sophia made it? Or are they dead?" "Thank God," Odalise warned everyone in time. If the crew hadn't listened to her, it wouldn't just be those two idiots in danger. "Did you see that clip of Sophia falling? Plus the one where the waves swept her away? I replayed it, and seriously, she wasn't wearing underwear. No way. On an island with three guys, wearing a dress and no underwear? What is she even thinking?" The live stream chat was buzzing with heated debates. Meanwhile, entertainment agencies had woken up their teams to monitor the broadcast, eager for the first scoop. Finally, at 4:30 a.m., the wind died down, and the rain stopped. By 5 a.m., the first light of dawn broke across the horizon. Then the ocean retreated quickly, leaving the shoreline clean and eerily peaceful, as though the storm had never happened. "Go check on Atlas and Sophia. Now," Kenny said, his voice sharp. The staff didn't hesitate, rushing toward Group S cave.
When they arrived, they found the ground spotless, every debris washed away by the storm. Trace of meanwhile, Group B stayed behind.
Should we check on them? Stellan asked, his brow furrowed in frustration. Stellan clearly didn't hold Group A in high regard. After everything, he felt no obligation to sympathize.
We should, Odalis replied calmly, her voice steady.
She glanced toward the cave, a faint smile playing on her lips.
They're alive, she thought, probably just exhausted.
Freya and Sila followed behind, seeing everyone panicking and shouting. However, Atlas and Sophia did not respond.
Their shouts echoed continuously across the island. 304 Mon, January 6, Chapter 37 EU.
Atlas. Where are Sophia? Can you hear us?
66 But the only response was silence.
Their voices reverberated against the cliffs, hollow and eerie.
Kenny wiped the sweat from his forehead, turning to Odalis abruptly.
His eyes were filled with desperation.
Odalis, you seem to have a knack for theology, astrology, etc.
Can you tell us, are they alive?
Or should we assume the worst?
Kenny asked, his voice faltered.
The weight of responsibility pressed on him soon, all eyes turned to Odalis.
Even the camera crew zoomed in, capturing her every move.
She stood under a tree, the sunlight filtering through the leaves, casting intricate shadows on her face.
She looked calm and composed, almost ethereal.
A light breeze tousled her hair as Odalis smiled faintly.
Relax.
They're alive.
Probably just sleeping.
Is she serious right now?
She's either a psychic or a fraud.
Last night, the huge waves just swept them away, and here she telling us Sophia and Atlas are asleep.
Isn't that absurd?
She's clearly just seeking attention.
This woman is so disgusting, still putting on airs at a time like this. I agree with the previous comment.
I saw it live last night, both Sophia and Atlas were swept away by the water.
It seems highly likely that they didn't survive.
Hold up.
Odalis said she spent 16 years in the mountains.
Maybe she knows something we don't.
Freya and Stellan are adorable, sticking close to Odalis.
This is all Odalis' fault.
If she hadn't told Sophia about that cave, none of this would have happened.
She must do it on purpose.
Some overly emotional fans began to lash out immediately, trying to smear Odalis.
But a larger group of viewers kept rewatching last night's live stream, convinced she wasn't in the wrong.
The chaos from the previous night, the raging storm, and the drama shot to the top of trending topics quickly.
Clips of Sophia receiving a call and refusing to head to Group B's base were circulating everywhere.
Most of the comments accused her of being overly dramatic, and she'd even been turned into a meme.
Back on the island, Odalis chuckled softly, her expression calm despite the confusion around her.
When Odalis thought of Sophia's current state, a flicker of mockery flashed in her eyes.
After being reduced to such a sorry state, can the pampered princess of the Bennett family even handle it?
She wondered.
From the start of the show, Odalis had avoided getting involved in the Bennett's antics.
The more agitated they became, the more indifferent she remained.
That was the easiest way to get under their skin.
Now that the storm had given Atlas and Sophia a harsh lesson, Odalis' mood was undeniably lighter.
Sleeping?
That's impossible.
Someone exclaimed, caught off guard by her casual remark.
At the same time, Kenny shot Odalis a long, searching look.
Inwardly, he cursed Atlas and Sophia.
If the Bennett family hadn't used their connections to force the two onto the show, he never have invited them.
Looking back now, Kenny regretted it deeply.
Sure, Atlas and Sophia brought drama and buzz, but he valued life more than ratings.
The risk of them causing a fatal accident wasn't worth it. Moreover, Kenny simply couldn't wrap his head around it.
Last night, when things were at their worst, even Finian and Lucian had the sense to flee to safety.
Yet, these two refused to leave their cave.
Are they out of their minds?
Kenny muttered.
Odalis, Kenny said, lowering his voice, his tone bordering on a plea, this is no time for jokes. If something happens to them, our whole show is done for at this point. Kenny was desperate, willing to grasp at straws. Aimless searching hadn't worked, so maybe Odalis really had some talent worth trusting, TM not joking.
They're right there, Odalis said lightly, folding her hands behind her back as she tilted her chin toward a specific direction with a confident, almost smug gesture. The group froze, staring at Odalis in disbelief, following the direction of her nod. Chapter 38 Instinctively, the group followed Odalis' gesture, their gazes lifting upward. What they saw stunned them, a single leg dangling from the tree above. Sophia was wedged between the branches, her clothes disheveled, and her dress hiked up just enough to reveal the top of her thigh.
Kenny, it's Sophia.
The current must have swept her up into the tree. Someone shouted excitedly. Sophia, lying awkwardly on the branch, gritted her teeth and shot a venomous glare at Odalis. She was seething. Actually. Sophia had woken up as soon as the tide receded and had been planning to climb down when she noticed the production crew approaching. Therefore, Sophia wanted to pretend to have gone missing, hoping to put the crew in an awkward position. But as the crowd grew larger, Sophia hesitated. When Kenny turned to Odalis for answers, Sophia decided to stay hidden. She wanted to watch Odalis embarrass herself. What Sophia hadn't expected was for Odalis to reveal her location so casually. Now she was caught, utterly humiliated. Stranded, disheveled, and surrounded by gawking eyes, Sophia wished she could disappear into the tree.
Ah!
Sophia screamed softly, gritting her teeth before flipping off the branch in what looked like a clumsy fall. And a crew member rushed forward and caught her just in time. Sophia looked pale. Scratches marred her cheeks, her skin was noticeably sunburned, and her disheveled appearance left her looking far from her usual polished self. She's fainted, someone exclaimed dramatically. Kenny strode forward, his face dark as he looked down at Sophia despite her unconscious appearance. His expression showed little sympathy, however, when Kenny turned to Odalis, his gaze burned with a mixture of awe and disbelief. He was totally stunned. Kenny hadn't really believed in her abilities, but now, seeing how precisely Odalis had pinpointed Sophia's location, B couldn't help but feel astonished.
Can you figure out where Atlas is?
Kenny asked nervously, unsure if Odalis' skills could be pushed further. Hearing this, Odalis turned without a word, her eyes landing on a patch of overgrown bushes nearby. Just as Odalis glanced in its direction, a disheveled figure emerged, stumbling out of the underbrush. It was Atlas. His eyes, bloodshot and furious, scanned the crowd before he stormed forward.
Move!
Arlas barked harshly, and the crew parted to let him through immediately. Soon, Arlas reached the spot where two crew members were helping Sophia sit up. His eyes locked on her face, his gaze filled with frustration and concern. If anything happens to her, Odalis, I swear I'll make you pay for it. Atlas growled, his voice shaking with emotion. A night of turmoil had left Atlas teetering on the edge of breaking, and seeing Odalis standing there so composed pushed him over the edge. Odalis remained unfazed, standing with an amused expression casually. The calmer she appeared, the angrier Atlas became, his fury bubbling just beneath the surface.
What?
Did I offend you somehow? Was I the one who sent the tile to sweep you two away? Odalis asked softly, a hint of F38 Chapter 38 laughter in her voice. Everyone knows Kenny called you last night and told you to leave. She refused. So why are you blaming me? Pi Atlas clenched his fists, his anger boiling over as if a dam had broken inside him. Odalis' indifferent tone felt like a slap in the face, but with so many people watching, he forced himself to hold back. Atlas crossed his arms and spoke with an air of entitlement. This is all on you, Odalis. You leaked information about the cave deliberately, made it sound like a good spot,
and then handed it over to us on purpose. You definitely knew this cave was unsafe, yet you let us stay in it. And it wasn't safe near the coast during high winds, but you didn't bother to warn us." Atlas' words hung in the air like a misplaced punchline. Everyone stared at him, their expressions shifting from confusion to disbelief. "Does he just say that seriously?" someone whispered, barely containing a laugh. "Does the ocean knock something loose in his head?" Odalis let out a short, incredulous laugh. "Wow. Guess the Bennett genes don't put much stock in logic, huh? Your thought process is seriously on another planet. You're really something. Mr. Bennett. Always twisting the story, blaming everyone else to save face, what's wrong? Backstabbed so many people you think it's normal now?" Atlas' face darkened, his jaw tightening as he glared at her. He hadn't expected Odalis to call him out like that, especially in front of everyone. "You've changed," Atlas said finally, his voice low but shaky. "What happened to you? What happened to me?" Odalis took a step forward, her sharp gaze pinning him in place. "Should I have just stood there and taken the fall for you? That's what you think I'm here for, right?" Atlas flinched, stepping back involuntarily. The steel in Odalis' voice sent an uneasy ripple through him. Odalis continued, "Let me jog your memory. Last year, during that hurricane, your car broke down in the middle of the storm, and debris smashed through your windshield. Who drove out in the dead of night to pull you out and carry you to the hospital? Me. Or your leg would have been ruined without me. And when you got wasted and started swinging at people during that recording session, who stepped up and took the blame so your career wouldn't go up in flames? Me. And just a few weeks ago, when you got into that brawl at the club, who showed up to take your punches because your family begged me to? Me again. So no, Atlas, I didn't sign an 8-month contract with the Bennett family to be your scapegoat. I don't owe you or your family a damn thing. Last night, Sophia refused to leave when she was warned. That's on her, not me. But sure, go ahead, twist the narrative so I'm the villain and while we're at it." Odalis let her voice drop into an icy tone. "You've been coddling Sophia like she's your entire world. What is she to you, huh? Is she your girlfriend or something?" The question landed like a bomb. Atlas staggered back, visibly caught off guard. He tried to cover her mouth, but it was too late. Odalis had already said everything he'd wanted to keep buried. His face turned pale with anger, but it was as if his mouth was sealed shut, unable to utter a sound. Atlas watched helplessly as Odalis exposed all the things he had suppressed. "You're talking nonsense," Atlas shouted, his tone laced with urgency and frustration. "Odalis knows Sophia's my sister. But she still said those things in front of everyone deliberately. She must want to make people misunderstand. I can't believe how ruthless she can be," Atlas thought. "What's the point of getting all worked up? TM just stating the truth," Odalis replied coldly. With that, Odalis turned to leave. As she stepped forward, her foot landed on Sophia's hand accidentally, which was limp on the ground. "Ah!" Sophia screamed, the pain shooting through her fingers like fire. The sudden outburst had everyone spinning back toward her. Sophia jolted upright from the crew's arms, tears streaming down her face as she clutched her injured hand. Seeing this, Odalis arched an eyebrow, her lips curling into a small, amused smile. "Oh, so you aren't actually unconscious. That's interesting." "You're—" Sophia glared at her, seething. She yanked her hand back angrily, met everyone's gaze, and then got up and strode away with large steps. But after spending the night stuck in the tree, her legs had gone completely numb. Then Sophia fell flat on her face with a loud thud, the wet mud splattering across her clothes and skin. Another scream tore from Sophia's lips, and the crowd couldn't help but exchange awkward glances. One by one, the crew dispersed,
leaving Sophia lying in the dirt. Whatever sympathy anyone might have had for her had completely evaporated.
This is insane. Is anyone there to witness all this?
Someone spill, the teal is what Odalise said actually true?
Wow, Odalise has been treated like a doormat this whole time.
Atlas is such an ungrateful jerk.
Okay, but am I the only one who found Odalise kind of awesome here?
She probably knew Sophia was faking it and decided to teach her a lesson.
Love it, that stomp on Sophia's hand was iconic.
Can we talk about how she completely exposed Atlas and Sophia without even breaking a sweat?
Sophia spent the whole night in a tree just to embarrass herself like this.
And let's not forget her wardrobe malfunction.
Is she seriously not wearing anything under that skirt?
Okay, but what's the deal with Atlas and Sophia?
Something about their dynamic feels off.
Chapter 39. Early in the morning, over 3 million people were already waiting in the live stream chat room. Everyone witnessed everything unfold in real time.
Those who had previously doubted whether Odalise could truly predict anything fell silent.
Meanwhile, paparazzi were quick to dig into every claim she made.
Found it? A while back, someone shared footage of Atlas' car being trashed.
I managed to get the surveillance tape. It shows Odalise rescuing him by herself.
She even carried him to the hospital in the rain.
My brother is a regular at the clubs.
He just got the security footage from the boss. Turns out Atlas got drunk and attacked
someone.
The guy's head was busted open, and afterward, Atlas called Odalise to take the blame. Wait, there's Sophia in the corner of the footage.
Atlas started the fight because of her, and she was the one who provoked things first.
Oh my god. Sophia is even smoking.
The ever-resourceful internet users mobilized their networks.
In minutes, they tracked down the locations Odalise mentioned and pulled up more surveillance footage easily.
They even called the police station to confirm the aftermath. Odalise had cleaned up the entire mess.
ANS, who had been defending Sophia earlier, went quiet suddenly.
The release of surveillance videos stunned them, and some were already digging into Sophia's dirt.
Within moments, Twitter exploded.
Odalise takes the fall. Odalise exonerated. Odalise psychic master. Sophia smoking and provoking. These hashtags and phrases shot straight to the trending page.
Everyone wanted to know more about Odalise, only to find that she didn't even have a Twitter account.
No one could dig up any personal information about her.
Odalise was so mysterious, she seemed almost otherworldly, like she had appeared out of nowhere.
Public curiosity about Odalise reached its peak.
Last night, the Bennett family had been in a frenzy over the storm at sea.
After finally getting a bit of rest, they woke up to find the live stream of Atlas and Sophia had already gone viral.
But what made things worse was Atlas' confrontation with Odalise, which led her to expose all his secrets on air.
Furious, Henry slammed his phone onto the table.
Pacing back and forth in the living room with a hand pressed to his waist, he fumed.
Is Atlas out of his mind?
If he had questions, couldn't he have asked her in private?
What was he thinking?
Now look at the mess he's caused.
Everything has come out in the open.
Several companies that were about to sign contracts with him just called to say they're pulling out, Henry added, his voice rising.
Hannah stared at the live stream replay on the screen.
She gasped for air, nearly fainting, until Caspian shoved a pill into her mouth quickly, keeping her conscious.
Then Caspian said urgently,
"The surveillance footage is out there now.
Atlas' reputation is doomed.
We can't save him, but we must protect Sophia.
Get the PR team to hire bots and suppress this.
If we don't, once this reality show wraps, Sophia won't stand a chance in this industry.
She's always dreamed of into the entertainment industry.
If she finds out,
it's all lover.
I'm worried about what she might do hearing this." Henry shot Caspian a sharp glare.
Then he said coldly, "Hire bots?
Every single one of our PR accounts has been reported and banned.
Overnight, all of them were wiped out.
PR just informed me they've even received official warnings.
With that, Henry gulped down a glass of water, his frustration deepening the lines on his face.
Have we pissed someone off?
Who would go to such lengths against us?
Is someone working with Odalis deliberately?
Hannah said through gritted teeth, her voice trembling with anger. At the mention of Odalis' name, a wave of bitterness surged within her. Hannah couldn't believe she had given birth a troublesome daughter. Letting her come back had been her biggest mistake.
Such who could we have offended?
People in business wouldn't openly do something like this, Caspian muttered. All we did was arrange for Odalis to take that marriage deal 2 days ago. Hearing this, Henry and Hannah froze, turning to look at him in shock.
I had no idea.
Caspian defended himself quickly, fearing he'd take the blame. However, Henry stood still, a thoughtful expression crossing his face. He said, in a low voice, it did all start after the wedding arrangement. Ever since, our Emily has been facing one problem after another. Even our company's operations are being suppressed, and no one in the industry wants to work with us. Our bots are gone. And we can't control the trending topics. It feels like someone's intentionally targeting us. Could it be the Stewart family? But how could they intervene for Odalis after just one night? She probably hasn't even met all of them yet. Why would they protect her? Then Henry grabbed his car keys and headed out. I'm going to get some answers, he said before driving off. Meanwhile, Hannah clenched her fists as she glared at the live stream replay, her face twisted with rage. When she gets back, it'll break her legs, she hissed, channeling all her frustration toward Odalis. Caspian remained silent, lost in thought as he observed the online uproar. After picking up the phone and handing it back to Hannah, he left the house quietly. No one knew where he was going. The Stewart family. I need to find out, Hannah replied. She took a deep breath, searching for the Stewart family's contact number. After a brief hesitation, she dialed. The phone rang twice before it was picked up. Hannah inhaled sharply and spoke up. Hello, this is Hannah from Click. The line went dead. Hannah froze in disbelief, staring at the disconnected call. The faint beep of the dial tone echoed in her ears. She wanted to call again, but her trembling hands couldn't summon the courage. They hung up on me? That couldn't have been the Stewart family. It couldn't have been, Hannah muttered, trying to calm her growing panic. Now, the situation was spiraling out of control. For the first time, Hannah regretted letting her children join the reality show. Originally, Hannah had planned that Sophia act coquettish to secure the highly coveted drama lead role that everyone in the industry is vying for. To achieve this, Hannah tried to curry favor with Kenny by showing off, but it backfired. Deep within the forest, Finian and Lucien stood not far from where Odalis was approaching. Odalis, Finian called out, walking toward her quickly. Before he could get closer, Freya darted forward, cutting starving. Are you hungry? She asked softly. Ling him off. She latched onto Odalis' arm with a bright smile. Odalis replied with a small laugh. Sila hurried over and suggested. How about we go find something to eat?
Sounds good.
Odalis agreed. The three women headed back toward camp, with Stellan trailing behind them. As he passed Finian, he slowed his pace, giving him a cold, pointed look. Odalis is part of my group. I'd appreciate it if your group stayed out of our business, Stellan said icily, and let's not have any more incidents involving theft, Stellan added, his voice low but full of warning. Chapter 40. Instantly, Lucian's face flushed crimson with embarrassment. He hadn't expected anyone to find out about him sneaking some meat last night. And he wanted nothing more than to disappear into a hole. He was mortified. I need to talk to Odalis about something private, Finian said moldly. Stellan let out a low laugh, his rugged face showing a trace of mockery as he glanced down at Finian like he was looking at something utterly ridiculous. Do you think Odalis looks like she has anything private to discuss with you?
Stellan retorted without hesitation.
"T've only known her for 2 days, and even I can tell she can't stand you. If you're a man, you'll back off and stop pestering her."
Stellan continued.
"But honestly, you people in group really have some nerve. All you know how to do is dodge responsibility. Too bad Odalis is with Group B. So, do us all a favor and get lost."
Stellan didn't care that they were being live-streamed. If he didn't make things clear, these people seemed incapable of understanding.
Damn it!
Stellan is so handsome. His sharp tongue is as vicious as ever. Protecting his own group's women absolutely the right move. Used to think Stellan was too aloof, but now I get it. He just can't be bothered to engage with idiots.
Love him now.
Freya was so cute just now, shoving Finian aside like that.
Hilarious.
And even more, Finian is so creepy. Why does he keep harassing Odalis? Can't he see how much she dislikes him?
Disgusting.
I saw that video of him cornering her at night.
Gross.
The viewers were quick to voice their opinions. On the other hand, Finian's fans stayed silent, feeling like there was no coming back from this. Earlier, they had been thrilled when the attention shifted to Sophia and Atlas, but Finian's blunder had ruined everything. Even now, some fans had begun questioning whether Group A was cursed. Ever since the team formed, their reputation had been spiraling downhill.
"You."
Finian's voice shook with anger, but when his gaze met Stellan's icy stare, he hesitated. Remembering Stellan's connections, he swallowed his fury and turned away.
"Let's go, Lucian," Finian said finally.
Lucian nodded quickly.
"We only ate a little meat last night.
We should look for more food today. Maybe the storm washed up some fish or shrimp on the beach.
We can gather those," he offered. "We can't just keep starving, right?
If going like this, we'll become the laughingstock of the entire internet," Lucian thought. Lucian was very smart and didn't rush into things. Instead, he tried to minimize his presence as much as possible. He also worried that if the live stream didn't go well, it wouldn't be worth it for him to get backlash. After a while, Finlan agreed with a curt nod.
"Yeah."
As they approached the nearby clearing, they saw that the staff had cleared the area not far away. Kenny walked over and said, "Your stuff got wet last night. You should take it out and let it dry. There's good sunlight near the beach, so it should dry pretty quickly." Hearing this, Finian and Lucian headed back to their cave. The moment they stepped inside, their expressions froze. There were two snakes coiled around their suitcases. Staff members had already killed the snakes and removed them. Then Finian and Lucian rushed to grab their luggage and carry it outside.
What's that on your suitcase?"
Lucian asked, pointing. Finian glanced down, frowning as he noticed a pink piece of fabric stuck to his suitcase. He reached out and picked it up, realizing with growing discomfort that it was a woman's underwear. His fingers stiffened, and for a moment, Finian didn't know whether to drop it or hold onto it.
"It's just underwear," Finian thought, though his expression darkened.
"It had to belong to Sophia. She's the only woman in our group."
"Let's just leave it here," Finian muttered, tossing the garment onto a nearby tree branch before rubbing his hands together and walking off with his luggage. Thankfully, the suitcase had held up well, and most of his belongings were only slightly damp.
Soon,
Sophia and Atlas returned, dragging their suitcases out to dry.
"That's yours, right?"
Finian asked Sophia, nodding toward the branch where the pink underwear hung. Sophia froze, her eyes following his gaze until they landed on the offending item. Her face turned pale, and she rushed forward to grab it, shoving it into her bag.
"Next time, keep it off my luggage," Finian said flatly, laying out his clothes to dry.
"Don't want people getting the wrong idea." Sophia stood there, her lips trembling as she stared at his indifferent back.
A wave of bitterness surged through her.
It felt like everyone had turned against her overnight.
"We should dry our things and head to the beach to look for food," Finian said, addressing Atlas.
After all, they were all in the same group. If someone needed to pick something up, they should all go together.
Atlas nodded. Turning to Sophia, he added in a low voice, "If you're not feeling up to it, you can stay here and rest. The three of us can handle it."
Sophia forced a smile and replied, "No, I can't just sit around doing nothing. We're all here to film the show. I'll come with you." Even though Sophia was smiling, the cold determination flickered in her gaze. She thought, "Odalise has been ruining my image. I can't let her win. And with the cameras rolling, I can't afford to fall behind. Even if I'm being criticized, I have to find a way to turn things around." However, Sophia didn't realize that even if the photographer wasn't there, the production team would activate hidden cameras, and their every move was broadcasted.
"All right, just be careful," Atlas said softly, giving her an encouraging pat on the head before heading back to his luggage.
Sophia ducked her head, avoiding his touch as she busied herself hanging up her clothes. She followed the group to the beach, a pink undergarment still visible in her luggage, fluttering in the breeze. At the shore, they found fish and shrimp scattered along the sand, left behind by the receding tide.
"There's actually quite a bit.
They're dead, but they'll do," Finian said with some relief.
Chapter 10: Having something is better than nothing.
Right now, at sea, it's harder to find food, so let's first solve the problem of staying full, Finian thought.
"Yeah, we can dry them like Group B did.
They'll keep longer that way," Lucian answered, joining the others in picking up the seafood.
Sophia's forced smile faltered as Lucian mentioned Group B. She felt useless compared to them, and the thought stung, gritting her teeth. She focused on collecting as much as she could. But the strong smell of dead fish made her stomach churn, and Sophia hesitated, grimacing.
"Maybe I should gather some
firewood instead?"
she asked softly. The other three people didn't have any objections since they were working together through the division of labor.
"Sure, but grab plenty," Finian replied dismissively. His tone made Sophia's hands clench into fists. She muttered, "Plenty?
Are you kidding me? Can't you at least show a little consideration for me as a girl?"
Despite her frustration, Sophia bit her tongue and nodded.
Instead, she said with a strained smile, "Got it?" As she walked away,
Sophia glanced back and saw that none of the others had followed her. It was as if the task of gathering firewood was entirely hers. Tears pricked her eyes, but when Sophia noticed a camera swiveling toward her, she smiled quickly and waved.
"Off to gather firewood,"
Sophia called out cheerfully.
"Soon we have seafood to enjoy. Isn't nature generous?
Last night's tide brought us such a blessing.